Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is Salvation Doesn't Come at a Discount. Let me read to you just before the text a few phrases from that song. Above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure, Jesus, what you're worth. Salvation doesn't come at a discount. Our text from 1 Peter 1, especially verses 18 and 19, says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Again, our theme, salvation doesn't come at a discount. Open up your bulletins, if you will, and take out the insert as we consider our text today. Discounted cars, discount stores, wholesale prices. I can get it at discount. A day doesn't go by in our lives that we're not confronted or barraged with TV commercials, newspaper ads, store signs that scream out, sales, low prices, discounts. It makes you wonder these days if anything of value can be had at a discount. In today's sermon text from 1 Peter, Peter tells us that our salvation was not cheap. Now, theoretically, God could have used the world's treasures to redeem us. In Psalm 50:10, there's a Hebrew saying about God. It goes like this: God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Translation: God has all the wealth of the world. However, the price for our redemption was just too steep. A price for your redemption and mine that no treasures of this earth could touch. The debt of our sin was too great. The price for our freedom from sin and death and the devil, no wealth could touch. Listen to our text again. You were ransomed not with perishable things like silver or gold, but how does our catechism put it? But with the precious blood of Christ. Now, God could have demanded obedience to His laws and His commands that we could earn our salvation. But that's what St. Peter in the text calls the futile or empty ways handed down to you by our forefathers. What does that mean? It means that people in Jesus' time, and even people today, when they're asked the question, how do you hope to get to heaven, will often say, by good deeds, by good lives, by keeping God's commands. If you were here yesterday morning, you probably couldn't have found a seat. 400, 500 people, the narthex was filled, standing room only. We had a memorial service for a young man who died at age 34. And I asked the people in the congregation the same question. Today, I said, is a day when people say it was time for me to get right by God, and maybe just by living a good life, I can earn my way into heaven. St. Peter says, that's a futile, empty way. It just doesn't work. And Jesus Himself answered the claim that good works were the way to heaven when He says in Matthew 5:48 these words. Listen carefully. Then You must be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. That is to say, if anyone plans to get to heaven by their perfect lives or their good deeds, then your test score must be 100%. The only problem is, and it's a big problem, is your sin, my sin, our disobedience. The prophet Isaiah had much to say about the same thing. He talked about filthy rags. Listen to what he says. All of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. That is, apart from a simple, abiding trust in Christ, all our good deeds, all our good works meant to earn heaven are just like filthy, dirty, stinking rags in God's sight. That is to say, man's works righteousness does not work. Salvation's cost was free, but it wasn't cheap. It was free, but it was costly beyond measure. The text says it cost the very blood of Christ. Listen to the text again. Not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Please note and hear carefully, your salvation is a free gift, but it cost Jesus Christ his very life. Our wages have been paid for. That is, the wages of our sin and death. Listen to St. Paul in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What are wages? Wages are those things we get paid for the work and the deeds that we do. And did you hear the scripture? The wages of sin, what you get paid for sin, is death. And it cost God the death of His Son to pay your wages. What does that beautiful text say? For God so loved the world. For God so loved Chuck. For God so loved Jen. For God so loved Herb. Thank God that He loved a sinner like me. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. He gave Him to death. Salvation does not come at a discount. How precious is it to you? Oh, and now comes that time in the sermon where we quit preaching, and you know what I'm going to say. We start doing some meddling. How precious is your salvation to you? Let me ask about your life of worship, stewardship, service, prayer, and outreach. Is worship a weekly and daily priority for you? To set aside the screaming voice of the world all around you and to focus on God's voice as He speaks to your heart through the Scriptures, through your time of prayer, through the study of the Scripture, that you might hear what God is saying to you. How's your life of financial stewardship? How are you using the finances that God provides you? Yes, God gives you everything you have. How are you using those for heaven's sake, for kingdom purposes? Your life of service. Are you seeking ways to serve your church and your community? Or are you hiding behind the popular mask of, I'm too busy? Your life of prayer. I beg, I encourage, I exhort, please pray for your church. Please pray for your pastor. He needs it. I must confess these days. Can I be so bold? I am worn out. I am tired. Not so much physically, although some of that is there, but emotionally and spiritually, the needs never end. The hurts keep cropping up. How's your prayer life for your church and your pastor? How's your outreach? Are you giving away the good news of Jesus that your salvation didn't come at a discount, or are you keeping it to yourself? Ask yourself this question. In my life, do I just use God as a 911 number? Do I just call upon God in time of crisis, but keep Him at arm's length in anything else that has to do with my life? St. Peter reminds us in today's sermon text, we are never to so cheapen our salvation. How much is your salvation worth? Take a look. Take a look. As you today receive the body and the very blood of Christ, that's how much your salvation cost. Now, early Christians were tempted to cheapen their salvation, and so are we. Peter's letter of 1 Peter here was first written to early Christians who were suffering persecution by the evil and crazy Roman emperor named Nero in 60 AD. These early believers were tempted to compromise and deny their Christian faith. They were tempted to cheapen their salvation. They were tempted to live like others all around them, to fit in with their neighbors so they would not stick out, so they would not take a stand for Jesus, so they would not bear witness to His holy name. How about us today? Are we so eager to fit in? Not to stick out, not to suffer the ridicule of anybody. We cheapen our salvation by hiding it. Have you heard of the Lutheran pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran pastor in World War II Germany who suffered under the Nazi persecution. Hitler wanted absolute control of the church and the messages the pastors preached, but Bonhoeffer would not obey. He remained true to the gospel of Jesus, and he was thrown into prison for execution, and he was put to death. But while in prison, he wrote a book. I have it on my shelf. You can borrow it. Called The Cost of Discipleship. In prison, he exhorted his fellow German Lutheran Christians and other Christians to remain true to Jesus and not to compromise their faith on the altar of a godless society with godless values and standards. Sound like today? You bet. We are called, St. Peter in our text says, to live as strangers to this world's values and standards. Listen to 17. If you call Him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. What does that mean? Exiles, according to St. Peter, are people who don't fit in with the rest of the society around them. They don't kowtow and bow down to the world's values and standards. They are exiles. They are misfits. They don't fit in. So today, if I call you misfits, if I call you exiles, if I call you peculiar or weird people according to the world, give God thanks. We are called to be exiles. St. Paul tells us in Romans 12, we are not to be conformed to this world's standards. Listen to the text, Romans 12, 2. Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. The word picture Paul uses is of an iron smelting plant. It's a process of separating iron from ore in a hot furnace. And then the iron is melted. And for example, poured into cup molds. So you make hundreds and thousands of metal cups that all look like every other cup. This process is called being conformed. And St. Paul tells us, don't be conformed. Don't be like a metal cup, like everybody else around you today. Stick out. Be different. Take a stand for the sake of Christ. Don't be conformed with all the metal cups in this world that look all alike. The Bible says that God's people are to be holy. And to be holy means to be separate, to be distinct, to be different than anyone and anybody else in the world. To be holy is to be different, to not go along with the ways of the world, to be conformed and be a metal cup like everybody else around us. Reminds me of what my mama and your mama probably once told you. You can fill out the saying, if everybody jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge too? And the scripture says today, we are not to follow the crowd. You see, our life of faith is not some cheap discount, but it's a valuable commitment to Him who paid a high price for us. Now, earlier we spoke of Pastor Bonhoeffer in World War II Germany. Our closing story goes back to World War II, but now France. Permit me to read this account to you. She was a young Jewish woman fleeing the German Gestapo in France. She was being chased. Soon she would be caught and she would be killed. She came to a Christian home, a hiding place that held and protected Jews. It was the home of a young French widow, a woman about her same age. The Jewish girl was tired, and she'd lost all hope. After a short time, she told her host, "It's no use. I'm so very tired. I can't run anymore. They'll soon find me." But her host told her, "Yes, they will find someone here, but it's time for you to leave. Go with these friends of mine to safety. I will take your identification papers and wait here." The Jewish girl then understood the plan. The Gestapo would come and find this Christian widow and think she was the fleeing Jewish girl. Now, speaking at a mission conference some 40 years after the event, this now Christian woman of Jewish descent spoke to hundreds of teenagers. I asked her why she was doing that, and the widow said these words, "It's the least I can do. Christ Jesus has already done that and more for me." The widow was caught and imprisoned. Within 6 months, she was dead in a concentration camp, but the Jewish girl was free. She too became a follower of Jesus and dedicated the rest of her life telling anyone who would listen about the great cost of her salvation, both from a concentration camp and from an eternity of sin and death. And as an aged grandmother, still traveling the world over, telling the story of salvation, she was asked, "Why? Why do you keep doing this? Why don't you just rest now that you're in your 90s? Why are you giving your life doing this?" And she simply responded, "It's the least I can do. Christ Jesus has already done that and more for me." My dear friends, the simple truth is this. Our Lord Jesus has taken your place. He has died for your sins. The cost of your salvation was His very life. Salvation does not come at a discount. Our only response is to live as His holy people, serving Him and serving others with our very lives. Why? It's the least that I can do. Christ Jesus has already done that and more for me. In Jesus' name, amen. We now worship our Lord with His offering.